Hello and welcome, my friend, to the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. It is my honor to have you here with us today. We are starting in the month of June weekly live question and answer sessions on minnesotagardening.com. And today was our first one that we had, and it was just lovely. And so Minnesota Gardening members sent in questions, other folks asked questions as well. So it was really great to have everyone there. And I just want to share it with you today and hope that next Wednesday at 10 a.m. in June of 2023 that you will join us. Just head over to minnesotagardening.com and you will find it. So here is the audio of our live question and answer session at minnesotagardening.com.
All right, my friends, welcome to the first live Q&A. I got this started up a couple of minutes early in order to folks time to come on. I'm not sure who's going to join us, but we've got some questions that are all queued up and lined up and ready to go. So I hope you are doing well as we get this started. I just want to introduce myself. If you don't know yet, my name is Brad Danke. I live in Shakopee, Minnesota, and I have a gardening horticulture degree from Iowa State University in design as well. And hey, Jess and Brian, how are you guys doing? This is the first time we've used Mighty Networks as a live stream platform because they've just improved it to allow us to do this here. Add some questions. There, and welcome Grady. Give this a couple more minutes for folks to join here, but Grady is new around here and he's an engineer. I don't know if I can say this without busting you, Grady, but helps with the Mighty Network platform. So it's kind of random that he's on here, but it is good to have him. I don't have any questions right now for how we make everything work well, but really glad to have you here and having gardening questions. So that is great. If you guys want to add questions to the chat, we can use those as a way to move things forward. So we'll see how many people show up. This is our first time doing this on a weekday. We have in the past had, for Minnesota Gardening Club members, had evening monthly ones, but they stopped being as well attended. So we're going to try a couple different things. So each week in the month of June here on Wednesdays at 10, we're going to have Q&A sessions on here so people can join if they are available. This also will be recorded, just so you know as well. So we'll post the recording of the live chat. So we will get started there. So Gree sent in question via the messaging. So we'll start there. So let me just grab, make sure this works. I think I'm messing it up the screen share, Grady. Sorry. There we go. So this is a question from Grady about some native plants that I've implanted that are starting to turn purple. So he's got a few of them, not all of them, that are starting to turn purple like this. So you can see on the tips and on the veins, and also these curled leaves up here as well. So this is a wild bergamot. So it's in the Monarda family through there. And so that is, actually, I'm going to go back to that. Sorry, as I'm getting used to using this, folks. There we go. So with this, native plants are really, really awesome, but also they can be super sensitive sometimes. And so a lot of, especially native plants, don't love to be transplanted and moved around. And so with that, this is probably just transplant shock. And so they were planted this spring. And so a lot of times you'll see in Google results and other things that it is a phosphorus deficiency. So here in Minnesota and the vast majority of the upper Midwest, we do not have phosphorus deficiency. In fact, in Minnesota especially, it is illegal to put phosphorus down unless you're planting new plants or new sod or that kind of thing. when the roots are so small that they can't access the phosphorus that's in the ground. And so, but this is not a phosphorus issue. We rarely, if ever, have phosphorus issues in Minnesota. And so this is just transplant shock. And so you can see how the little baby leaves that are coming up here are all green and happy. And so just keep watering it well and making sure that it gets enough water and they will move through it and they will push out new leaves and they'll be there. So this is just transplant shock that you'll see on quite a few different types of plants, as especially native plants, because they don't like to be moved a ton. And so they will be doing well there. So awesome. Glad screen sharing worked. Then Grady also had another question. We got another participant here. So, both Jess and Brian are here, or Jess and Brian are here on Twice, but it's good to see you guys. So another question Grady had is, we back up to a nature preserve at 70% invasives. What is your suggestion for working with the city to help start fighting it? So this is a really great question that comes up a lot of times. Most often in the upper Midwest, there are a variety of invasive plants that take over woodland type areas, especially where it's been disturbed at some point, or if it's trying to be reclaimed area and those kinds of things. So generally the number one thing is buckthorn. And so is you have to deal with the buckthorn and get rid of it. It is really, really difficult to handle, but there've been some in Minneapolis, there've been some really cool new studies that have been done around buckthorn eradication. So what we've generally done, you know, throughout buckthorn, I'll give a little background on buckthorn. It is an ornamental plant that was brought here from Asia. And so it is a non-native plant that was intentionally brought here because it has some really great qualities to it. So it is it greens up early. It does some good things that were intended to be great for ornamental plants and those types of things. But since then it has escaped. And so it is a prolific seeder. Birds eat the seeds, the berries, and they travel all over the place. And so it has spread invasively in a lot of different areas. And it's really hard to kill because it sprouts up from the root system all the time. So it's really difficult to do that. And so historically, in the recent past anyway, what we've been doing with buckthorn is we've been cutting it off at the bottom to get rid of the main plant. So we've been cutting it off at the bottom and then treating it with a chemical. Usually Garlon is one of them that we use. And so a variety of other things. You treat the stump so that it kills the whole plant underneath the ground. And then it doesn't just sprout back up through there. And so with that, you have to constantly go at it. And so you need, there's a whole, when you get rid of the canopy there, there's a whole weed seed bed that's under there. So you will be pulling all of those seedlings that come up into perpetuity. So it takes a long time, decades, in order to get rid of what is there. And so that's the number one thing you need to do. But there have been some really cool studies, some new ways of handling buckthorn that have been tried in Minneapolis over the last 5 years or so that's been working really well. And what they do is, if it's a established just buckthorn shit show type of area, what they've been doing is they cut it off at chest height. And so they take the trees, they cut it off at chest height this time of year, and then they strip all of the leaves off of it. And so it forces the plant to put all of its energy into putting new leaves out on that upper area along the trunk. And so it pushes a new flush of leaves out. And so once that new flush of leaves gets to be 6 to 10 inches long or so, they just strip those back off again. And so constantly keep stripping off. And so what that does is the above ground area on a plant is analogous to the amount of root area that it has below ground. And so with buckthorn, if you are cutting those leaves off, it can't support the full root system anymore. And so after doing this for 3 to 4 years, what you can do is that root system is dead underneath and it won't throw up any more sprouts. And you can just knock that over and pull that plant out of the ground. And so you've got this old established buckthorn plant that you can just pull out of the ground once you kill off all the roots. And so they've been having really good luck. It's interesting to see how that will go into the future. So if you don't want to use chemicals, you can try that as well. And for Grady also asked for chemical treatment. We're super close to water, so I'm not sure if that is a good option for us. Yeah, it's always a discussion that has to happen. But when you treat these, you don't like treat a whole area. So when you just cut off the stump, you just paint it on that fresh wound. And so it sucks that in so it doesn't get around. So chemicals are always something you have to discuss. But that's why this cutting them off taller so that they continue to grow is a really interesting way to start hitting it. And I'll post some articles that have been done about the new buckthorn when we're done here. Good. So Jess and Brian say, we are having a violet invasion in my neighborhood. I can't tell if they're native and there are two color varieties. Are they beneficial? Do they invade and drown out other native plants we have been planting over the last few seasons? Violets don't really cause too much of a problem. So violets, they're advantageous. So if there are bare spots and dry spots in the grass or in your native areas, then they can invade and go in there. It's funny. You can see neighbors, our kids are out playing with the beach ball. So that's, I guess, one of the benefits or attractions. I don't know. You guys let me know if that's annoying or not. But my guess is that's going to be one of the less annoying things about this for folks. But so violets, back to that piece, is there are a couple different kinds of violets, and none of them are actually native to Minnesota. They're all non-native plants, but they do benefit a bunch of different types of pollinators. So they are native to eastern United States is where violets are native. So we don't have a ton of beneficial pollinators and things that go after violets, but bees really do like violets. And so I would leave them there. They have benefits. They will not crowd out other things. They're generally not that aggressive. They don't usually push really, really hard against other natives. And so they're better than a lot of other things that will come in there. So as your native starts to grow and as they start to establish themselves, you can pull them out and make more room for other things. But it's one of the fewer things I would really worry a ton about at this point, especially if you have shady areas. They usually do pretty well in those light, shady areas. But if they are taking over things, you can just pull them. They're pretty easy to pull. So those are there. So thank you for that question. And Brian and Jess, congratulations. They have some new land that has wooded up north. And so it's really exciting to see how that goes. And so just make sure to post pictures in Minnesota Gardening Club when you have a chance. We had some other questions that came in from folks. One of them from Elise is about grasshoppers. And last year they got really hit hard with grasshoppers and they really ate everything. Grasshoppers are usually a late summer. That heat of summer is the main time when those grasshoppers start to go insane and go crazy. You can have just huge swarms, especially if it's a dry year and a lot of those nymph and egg stages don't get drowned out, which I imagine this year will be probably a normal year across most of the state. Then Western Minnesota has been pretty dry, but we'll see how that goes. But grasshoppers are really difficult to handle and deal with because there's nothing really that they hate and that they won't like. So if you have big issues with some types of insects, you could put trap crops in, which is something that is something that they really, really love. And then you can just get rid of that plant so that you get rid of those insects all at the same time. There are also crops you can put in to have things avoid. So a lot of like alliums are often used to help keep different types of plants, insects away and caterpillars away and those kinds of things off crops that you want to have. So, but grasshoppers, they really don't give a fuck about anything. They just kind of do their thing and they are really difficult to keep out of areas. So some folks say you can line with tall grasses, but that's not really a really good way of handling it. So the number one thing is if you have things that you want to save and the grasshoppers are really bad, row covers are the only real way that you can keep them safe and keep them away from things. So wait until they start to get bad and then put row covers on things. A couple, so the floating row covers are just a really lightly woven fabric, basically, that you put over the top of things. Some, if you have really delicate plants, you have to put a frame up around it and then put the row cover over that. And we can talk about that in the future if somebody is curious about it. But most of them, plants are strong enough that you can just lay it over the top gently and then put rocks on the side of it to keep it from blowing away and moving around. And that keeps the grasshoppers off of that. But what you need to really make sure that you're thinking about is that if there are things that need insects for pollination. So if you have, that's a good one, like strawberries, if you have different types of berries with blueberries, raspberries, those kinds of things that need to have insects for pollinating, don't put a row cover over those until you really need it during those times. And so those will help keep the grasshoppers out of there, but there's not really many good ways of doing that. Floating row covers are also really good for like cabbages and brassicas, broccolis, cauliflowers, those kinds of things, because I haven't seen as many this year. I had just a ton of them last year, but cabbage moths are little white happy moths that butterflies that fly around. Technically, they are butterflies, not moths. Just decimate anything in the brassica family. That's what they really, really love. And so floating row covers help with those as well. I don't care so much, so I don't usually put them out. My youngest, Isla, she is 12 now. And so that's her job, is to check all the babies for cabbage caterpillars. So those are where. So that was a long answer about grasshoppers. Not an absolute ton that you can do about them, but cover them because they are so intense. And so they push really, really hard. But Elise had a different question. Let me go back to it here. That is the only one there. So another question. So Grady asked, what is your plan for the Minnesota Gardening Club this year? So the Gardening Club, we have two basic sides. We have a free side, which we're on right now. So that's just minnesotagardening.com. And that is where we post podcasts. That's where we post just general information kinds of things. And that's where we do these types of events, is on the Minnesota Gardening side. And then there's also a paid side, which is just $10 a month for Minnesota Gardening Club. And that's like intensive answering questions. We have weekly, this is what you need to do this week, monthly, this is what you need to do this month, those kinds of things to help keep everybody up to date and moving and making sure that we get all the tasks done that need to be done as reminders on three basic areas. One is sustainable lawn care. So making sure that we're using the least amount of chemicals or eliminating chemicals wherever possible, as well as reducing water use and reducing how much work lawns are. So sustainable lawn care. And then the second one is landscape. So trees, shrubs, perennials, those types of things in that piece. And then food gardening is the third one. So growing this, see if this works. This is our front garden up here. It's kind of hard to see it right now, but we pulled out an ash tree that wasn't happy last spring. And then we put the garden in and had some trials and tribulations, and folks who were members along there were along for that ride. So I'm also, just so you know as well, a member of the Minnesota legislature. And so I've been a little slow on some things this spring, a lot slow on some other things this spring. So sorry about that to everybody, but I think we're getting it all figured out there. So those are that. And so Minnesota Gardening Club, there's a left side. You can join there. And so that's an exclusive group of folks, or go to minnesotagardeningclub.com and that'll take you to the right spot as you're there. So my next question was about apps. So there are a couple of apps that I use a ton for identifying plants, especially when I'm out in the woods and hiking and identifying native plants. There is really, really good. The one that I do this in reverse order. So one of the easiest ones to use is when you're on your phone, if you have an iPhone, and then Camping World is calling me. We pick up a new camper today, by the way, not from Camping World. So they are calling a lot. So, but if you have an iPhone, you can go here and see this little info button down here. And if it has a little star kind of guy above it, it says that there's information. And so you can look up information. It's backwards. Let's see if I can switch this around on you. There, that should be better. So it says look up plant right there. And if you click that, it will give you the plant. And so this is a magnolia that I'm sitting under. So Leonard Messel magnolia. So it's not perfect, but it's a good thing if you have a picture on there that you want to identify something. Oh, thanks for that, Grady. It's good to have you here. So it's still backward for you. Is that what you're saying? Well, that's annoying, but I think you'll figure it out. The next one is Google. And Google is, that is good to hear. All right, I understand. You can take in Google and it'll go through your photos And let's say this is picture dianthus that I took yesterday, and it will bring it up. So this is the number one that I use. Google Lens is really, really good for identifying plants. And then it also takes you to, so this one is pink dianthus, and it'll take you to give you lots of different websites if you have questions about it and those kinds of things. So Google Lens is another one. And then another straight up plant app that I use a bunch is called PlantNet. And so I don't use this one as much anymore because Google has become kind of my go-to on things. So from here, it just has you take a picture. So let's take, this is my boxwood that I'm sitting right beside here that's going to come out this fall. And then you choose that it's a leaf. And then it gives you all sorts of choices as to what it could be. So it's really a good app as well. So you kind of just go for what works the best for you. So the three that I use are just my iPhone, just because it's really simple to use, Google Lens, and PlantNet. And I'll put those in the notes. So after we're done with this chat, it will go live. So the recording will be posted after this. And so from there, you'll be able to watch, and I'll put the notes in here for the different things that we discuss in here. So that's there. Then another question we had was bird feeders. Why does the grass all die below bird feeders? This could be a different variety of things. One thing is, if you listen to our podcast from last summer, let me look it up to make sure they don't mess up her name, Laura Erickson. It's just a lovely, lovely podcast episode talking to Laura Erickson, and she is awesome. And she has the longest running bird radio show in the nation. And she's from here in Minnesota, from up at Duluth. And she highly recommends not feeding birds during the summer. So that's the first thing that I will mention is there's no need, let the birds do their thing all summer long. And make sure that you are giving them water. So if it gets really dry, they need water still. But she does not recommend. So I take my bird feeders down during the summer so I don't have this problem. But if you do have your bird feeders up during the summer, with that, it is a combination of things. So one is that, like, if you, depending on what you're using, like if you use black sunflower seeds, those will like just cover the soil and shade the soil, and they get really hot with that black color. They absorb, and so they can kill the grass off underneath of there. But the most of the thing is just all the birds, critters, all the mice, the squirrels, all those friends, that all the leftovers that they're digging through, and they're just pushing that all around, and they kind of kill the soil all underneath of there. And so that's the number one reason why that doesn't do well. But go back and listen to that episode with Laura, because she highly recommends not feeding during the summer. It's kind of a controversial thing in the whole bird world and that whole deal. So it is interesting. So that's all the questions that I have for right now. Does anybody else have any questions that have come up while we've been talking here? So I will be posting some things about grasshoppers, about where you can buy floating row covers, more information on buckthorn. I'll post those articles as to where those are. Well, I'll put the link for, and I don't know if when this posts, if the chat will be posted or not. So we'll experiment with that as our first one, but we'll be doing this every Wednesday at 10. So tell your friends, they can be there, and this is free. This isn't part of the Minnesota Gardening Club. So anybody who is interested can join and see what else we've got going on here. But right now there's a lot of stuff happening in the garden. And so I was really slow in getting, Jess and Brian, I hope you can hear me again. Is anybody else having a hard time, as having issues with the audio? Okay. So hopefully it's all good on the recording there. But so this is a really busy time in the garden. And the number one thing that I tell everybody to do this time of year is make sure to stay on top of the weeds as much as you can. You need to be watering it your grass and your plants need about an inch of water a week, especially while they're going through this heavy growing season. So make sure that they're getting lots of water. And a lot of areas of the upper Midwest are really dry right now. So just be watering as you go forward there. Another reminder is do not trim any of your oak trees. Oak trees are, we have a massive fungus going through the upper Midwest right now called oak wilt, and they're highly susceptible, especially red oaks are really, really susceptible to oak wilt, especially this time of year. There are a lot of bugs flying around that carry it on their wings. And if they just land on it, that fungus can get into, and red oaks can die within a season. So if they were to get it now, and it has to be, they get it by, there's also another podcast episode all about oak wilt, but they get it through exposed parts. So if you are pruning anything, or if you get a windstorm that comes through and breaks them off, and oak wilt is prevalent in your area, they can definitely get it that way. So just make sure that you are treating your oaks as carefully as you possibly can. So don't mess with those until at least after July, but especially winter is a much better time for handling anything there. So welcome, Matt and Emily. If you guys have any questions, we're about done here, but if you guys have any questions you want to add, just put them in the chat and I'll get them. So those are the couple big notes that we have for right now, as well as lilacs. So lilacs are mostly done blooming. And so now is the time to prune lilacs, because they bloom on the previous year's wood. And so when you prune them at this time, they grow the new wood up, and that's what they will bloom on next year. And so those are there. And so there's a couple tips. Matt asked, just cut the lilacs under the blossom. It depends on what you want to do. So if your lilac tree is big and if it's overgrown or anything like that, then it depends on your goals for things. So one, if it's really big and out of shape, lilacs have a tendency to get old wood, especially common lilacs and Miss Kim lilacs and Korean lilacs. They, as the branches age, they tend to bloom less and less and less. And so them with lilacs, you want to remove either the whole thing every 3 years, or better is just to remove the biggest stems, about a third of the branch all the way to the ground, and let them fill back in. So if you're pulling out a third of the stems every year, you're going to get a whole new plant in theory every 3 to 4 years. And so by doing that, you'll be forcing a lot of new growth to come on the plant, and then you get a lot better flowers as it goes there. So if it's highly recommend, it's called rejuvenation pruning. And I'll put when we post this, and you can go in MinnesotaGardening.com and also search for rejuvenation pruning. And there are multiple articles in there for that, where you can learn how it works. But it's the same process as we normally do during the winter. But on lilacs, we do them after they're done blooming. So just cut a third of the big stems down to the ground, and that will force them to grow. So I've got a giant, I don't know if you can see it over here or not, but this guy right here is giant lilac around the corner of the house. And I just pull the three biggest stems out each year, and it does well and keeps blooming a ton. So everything's good there. So, all right, friends, thank you so much for being here. And if you have any other questions or need anything, let me know and we'll roll from there. But this should be posted by the end of the day. And Grady, great job on the tech stuff. Because this worked awesome. So thank you so much. And again, we'll be back next Wednesday. Two things. We'll be back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. So we're going to do this every Wednesday in June. And then secondly, if you are not part of the Minnesota Gardening Club, you can join for $10 a month. You get 2 weeks free if you go to MinnesotaGardeningClub.com, or just on the left side, if I was pointing the correct direction here, of the screen or on your phone, you can grab that. So thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And I'll make sure to post pictures of my camper when we pick it up this afternoon. See you.